But when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have peace with God, there should be a peace with yourself. I remember every day before I went to bed, growing up, I would pray, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. And we all know that prayer. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But I didn't know for sure what was going to happen if I was to die. But one day, I opened up the scriptures and received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And at that point, the peace of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue our series from the book of Philemon titled Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships, with the first half of Maintaining Healthy Relationships. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of Philemon, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Maintaining Healthy Relationships.
We ask that you open in your Bibles to the book of Philemon. This may be our last message in Philemon. A dialogue between two individuals went something like this. You are a blankety blank blank. The second man, you are a liar and a thief. The first man, just quit bothering me, you so-and-so, so-and-so. Seriously, me bothering you? The first man, you are nothing but a lying crackhead, and stop calling me before you get more than a backhand. Wow. You might think that that is the dialogue between two bitter enemies. But that is actually the dialogue between two men who were best friends and roommates. And now they had taken each other to court and sued each other. And that was the final result of two friends, two best friends who were roommates. And this scenario is played out every day in courtrooms across America. There are no shortages of courtroom television shows. There's the People's Court, there's Judge Alex, Judge Mathis, Divorce Court, Paternity Court, Judge Joe Brown, Christina's Court, and the list goes on and on and on. And if you were to sit down and watch any of these court shows, what you would see would be two individuals, and most of the time, these individuals were close friends. They hung out together, they shared resources together, and they had a strong bond with one another. Now they are standing before a judge with bitterness, anger, and hostility in their hearts. As we look at the collapse of these relationships, we see that they went from being good to a relationship gone bad. As we consider the book of Philemon this morning, God is giving us a word as to how we can protect our relationships before they go bad. This series has dealt with restoring the fences of broken relationships. We have talked about trust, forgiveness, reconciliation, unity. And this morning, I want to turn in another direction and deal with how do we maintain a healthy relationship? Because I believe that if we learn how to maintain healthy relationships, we will not end up like many individuals we see in these court television shows, bitter, angry, and with hostility in our hearts. In the book of Philemon, Paul gives us, I believe, the answer to how we maintain healthy relationships. If you look at verse 3, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 25, Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I believe the key to maintaining healthy relationships is that grace and peace rest upon that relationship. Twice in this passage, he extends the grace of God to Philemon. And once he salutes him with a gesture of peace. Interesting enough, if we were to go back and read most of Paul's letters, at some point he would extend the salutation of grace and peace to those whom he is writing. What is grace? We've defined grace many times over the years from this pulpit as G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. But grace is the goodness of God to those who don't deserve it. We see God's grace at work in salvation. All sinners are human, all human beings are sinners, and they are destined to eternal separation and condemnation apart from God. God extends to him their goodness, his goodness, by sending Christ to die on the cross. That's grace. Grace is God's goodness towards those who don't deserve it. What is peace? Peace is an inner tranquility that we have as a result from a relationship with God. That when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's an inner tranquility that fills our soul. And at that point, as according to Romans 5, verse 1, we now have peace with God. We realize that everything between God and us is all right. When this peace is flooding our souls, we not only have peace with God, but watch this, we have peace with ourselves. And the sad thing is that there are many people that are not at peace with themselves. And if you're not at peace with yourself, it's going to be hard to be at peace with God and with others. But when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have peace with God, there should be a peace with yourself. I remember every day before I went to bed, growing up, I would pray, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. And we all know that prayer. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But I didn't know for sure what was going to happen if I was to die. But one day, I opened up the scriptures and received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And at that point, the peace of God came over me. Amen. And now when I lay my head on the pillow at night, I know that everything between me and God is all right. Amen. All is well between my soul and the Savior. Amen. And so not only do I have peace with God, I have peace with myself. And then this peace extends to relationships with others. That when we have peace with others, we know that everything between our soul and their soul is all right. And so Paul says to Philemon, who he's telling to receive somebody who did him wrong, he's telling him, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace rest upon you. Grace and peace rest upon your relationship. If you would look at this light, and that's our relationship, your relationship with your husband, your wife, your relationship with others, and when grace and peace rest upon the relationship, it's just like this cloth that it covers the relationship. And so that when you look at relationships, grace and peace, as I have here, should blanket relationships like the snow. Like the snow covers the landscape, like the snow covers the countryside, so grace and peace rest upon our relationships. That when we have grace upon our relationship, we're able to extend things to others, and others are able to extend things to us that we don't deserve, because grace is upon the relationship. That when peace is upon the relationship, we know that everything is all right because peace is resting upon the relationship. Man, this is a powerful concept. It's a powerful concept. If you look at some families, what do you see? You see people that are in turmoil. You see people that are battling with one another. They can't stand to stay in the same room with one another. They can't speak to each other without 1 minute before animosity and anger. They can't be around another person before feelings of bitterness, of frustration comes upon them. What's resting upon that relationship? We see on that relationship is resting negativity. And maybe some of you are in relationships like that. But there's one thing that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Grace and peace is not resting on it. Oh, to God that we would desire grace and peace to rest upon all our relationships. This is God's desire. When Paul tells Philemon grace and peace, he's just not giving him some words because he wants to say something. He's not writing something down because he needed to fill a verse. He didn't look and say, well, I need verse 3. Let me write, what can I put in verse 3? Let me find something to fill verse 3. No, he's writing because he's wishing this upon Philemon. Grace and peace. Is grace and peace blanketing your relationships? One of the things that we need to understand, that offenses will come. Jesus said that. Jesus said, don't be surprised when offenses come. That they are going to come your way. Whether you're a husband and wife, whether you are a parent, children, whether you are friends, church members, co-workers, whatever the case might be, there's one thing I can guarantee you. I can't guarantee you a whole lot, but there's one thing I can guarantee you, and that is offenses will come. Regardless. Put a period behind that because it's going to happen. And it might happen before you walk out this door today. I find Satan, he's good. He'll jump on you before you get out of bed in the morning. And he'll jump on you before you get out the door after church. Offenses will come. But I believe that in order to have grace and peace upon our relationships, that we need to learn how to maintain healthy relationships. And in order to do that, we need to connect. We need to connect. If we learn how to do this, then we will be able to maintain healthy relationships. I guarantee you that what I'm going to share with you today, every relationship that has broke down because of not connecting. And we're going to talk about what that means this morning. Grace and peace. Oh, let me ask you this. Husbands and wives, don't you love it when grace and peace are resting on your relationship? That you don't have to come home and one person be in one room and the other person be in the other room. You become a prisoner in your own crib, right? Right? You are banished to one room in your house. But when grace and peace are there, you got the freedom to go all about you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. right? When grace and peace rest on relationships, then you know all is well. All is well. So we have to learn how to connect. And the first thing, if we're going to have grace and peace upon our relationship, we have to learn how to communicate. There has to be communication. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. It says this. You know, and for years I read this verse and I didn't understand it. But then I began to meditate and research it and study it, and the meaning jumped out. And it says here, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And what this is saying is that we all, watch this, we all have thoughts and feelings. And these feelings reside in the deepest recesses of our soul. And that if we are in relationship with another person, and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness is present, then our feelings and our thoughts stay buried. And the only time, oh, somebody hear me this morning. The only time they come out is when we get frustrated and angry. And then they come out in a negative way. But the writer of Proverbs says that a man, that people of understanding can draw out the thoughts and feelings of the other person. And the other person can draw out the thoughts and feelings, and that once these feelings are drawn out, not forced out, not spit out, not expunged out, but once they are drawn out, then you can put them on the table and you can communicate. Counsel in the heart is like deep water. That what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking is like the ocean, the depth of the ocean, deep water. And just think that what's at the heart of the ocean? What's at the deepest part of the ocean? That's where you find all the activity at the heart of the ocean. And two wise people can draw out that and have intelligent dialogue and have intelligent discussion. And so that before best friends and roommates end up in court suing each other and cussing one another out, that there has been this communication where the deep thoughts have come out, not out of anger, not out of bitterness, but out of a heart of trying to understand, out of a heart of trying to work through the issue. And so if we are going to connect, there must be communication. Very interesting. In most of the counseling over the years that I have done as a pastor, one of the biggest issues that I see between husband and wife, no, it's not adultery. It's not, even though many tell us that the number one problem between couples is finances, and it is a problem. But the number one problem that I have seen between husbands and wives is communication. Failure to communicate. That they shut down, they stop communicating, and then that's when the relationship takes a sour turn and starts to go downhill. But as long as people feel that openness to share their thoughts and their feelings, there can be communication. The second thing that needs to happen if there's going to be connection, and if this grace and peace are going to rest on our relationship, there has to be openness. And when I say openness, I mean there has to be honesty. And there has to be truthfulness. The Bible, and I have those scriptures, I believe, listed there for you. The Bible talks about the fact of the need for us to be honest and truthful. If we are duplicitous, if we are deceitful, then we are actually destroying the relationship. Because all a person has to find out at least one time that there has been dishonesty, that there has been deceitfulness, that there has been duplicity, and what begins to happen is that the trust begins to erode. That when somebody lies to you, whether it's a friend, coworker, let's be honest. The minute a person lies to you and you know that they're lying, all of a sudden, something happens to you. I mean, you might be able to continue on, but in a, you have done this. Right? You filed that away. You filed it away. And so if we are going to have grace and peace rest upon our relationships, Proverbs especially says, and I didn't look up these verses, Proverbs 8, verse 7, Proverbs 12, 17, 12, 19, Proverbs 23, 23, says that you have to be honest and you have to be truthful in the relationship. And then from the negative perspective, you can't be deceitful and duplicitous. Colossians 3, 9 and 1 Peter 2, 1. You can't be duplicitous or deceitful. The minute somebody even catches you trying to deceive them, then, again, that wall goes up. They put their guard up because you are not being real. And you are trying to take advantage of them. And let me remind us that when we are being deceitful and duplicitous, that there is only one person that we are following after, and that is the devil. In John 8:44, Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning." So when we lie, we are, you know, I talked a couple of weeks ago about whenever we walk together in unity, Psalm 133, "Behold how beautiful and good it is when brethren walk together in unity." And I said that we are acting just like God when we come together in unity. Well, when we lie, guess who we're acting like? You know, I said, you know, when God sees unity, people can say, man, they're just like their father, right? Just like their father. Chip off the old block. Unity. But when we lie, we're acting like somebody else. And not only that, but when we try to deceive other people, Revelation 12, 9 and Revelation 20, 10 says that the devil is a deceiver. So, saints, we got to be honest. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. You need to be honest in your relationship. You need to be truthful. You need to put all the cards on the table. Because as that's done, then you can have a healthy relationship. The end is nourish. That if we are going to, and again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about grace and peace, resting on your relationship. What's the title of the message? Let's not lose thought.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Maintaining Healthy Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Maintaining Healthy Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Maintaining Healthy Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Maintaining Healthy Relationships, or call us at 877-831-5060. Also, Dr. William R. Glaze's book, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, is made available by contacting us at anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.